Joe Rexroad of the Tennessean joining us, sports columnist. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. I'm about to go down there and join him then.
Well, there at the Underground, just you know, make sure he has his nap. He needs a little nap every afternoon. So
that might be tough today.
Oh, I think he could probably nap anywhere. It's just saying. How you doing, man? Hey, there's two things. One, let's talk a little bit, look back a little bit before we look to tonight and everything, obviously, with the draft and everything. Yesterday, the Predators had their exit interviews, if you will. David Poile, Peter Laviolette, the players, Turris, Subban, I guess the ones most notably with that. Let's start right at the top. I thought with the quotes, paraphrasing, the first round loss, not acceptable. This is David Poile. Issues to be addressed, some changes to come. Certainly all the issues this team had, and I thought it was funny that he said it's no longer acceptable to just win the division. You think all four division winners didn't make it out of the first round after the Capitals lost last night. But just in general, your thoughts on how David Poile handled it yesterday?
Yeah, nothing surprised me. You know, I think David at these postseason gatherings usually pretty blunt, pretty honest. And you know, a year ago he said that those guys came to him and kind of pleaded to keep the band together, and he agreed with them. And his actions, you know, then sort of showed us that he was telling the truth. And obviously, it didn't work out. And so this time, you know, he made it clear, you know, some changes to come. And I think everybody sees the need for that. So he was as expected. Peter Laviolette might have given the longest answer of his entire life when he was asked about the power play. I mean, he gave the entire play-by-play on that. And look, I mean, I appreciated that. And it may not, you know, make Predators fans feel better about it getting better, you know, but I appreciated that he took us through all they did. I mean, you know, look, it's just like with anything like this. On the outside here, we talk about something, and it's a season-long narrative and conversation, and you know, it's like you're never far from discussing it, but you think about it internally. What are they doing? Well, of course they're pulling their hair out and switching people. I mean, you know, you could look at Laviolette's answer or when he said, you know, and the new guys coming in there, it's like, what are you guys doing on the power play? You could look at that as kind of a knock on him, you know? I mean, that's fair, but I appreciate the honesty, and that's one of a few things, obviously, that has to be a lot better next year.
Well, and he said, you know what, two-thirds through the season, he took Kevin McCarthy, his longtime compadre, off of it, put Dan Muse on it, and obviously we knew what would happen. I mean, 0 for 15 in the playoffs and the last in the league. And I thought it was sort of ironic, we hadn't talked to you since Monday night, that when that gift of the power play with the tripping penalty with 1:53 to play was almost like Game 7 being handed to him on a platter, and all thing you got to do is have one power play in this playoff, and of course, like the all season long, they couldn't get it done. And just in a nutshell, that would thing. I also just reading the transcripts and listening to some of the conversations. PK Subban was very forthright. He understands he's the highest paid player, what nine million or whatever it is,
yep.
Also, you got Josi. His deal's going to come due after this coming year, so they're probably going to get that deal done sooner than later, certainly. And you got Dante Fabbro, who I think showed that he can be a top two line defenseman. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with PK Subban.
Yeah, really interesting, because I mean, I would make the case that he's a really important part of your team. He's still got good years left, and I think he brings some intangibles that this locker room and team needs. I think PK Subban's a guy who understands and maybe gets frustrated in the regular season, but there is a little bit of preservation that probably goes on over 82 games, and you know, and then it's absolutely full blast for the postseason, and that's when it matters. So you know, and he was hurt this year. That's the thing, is he's always been a guy who, very durable, you know, as he said yesterday, took pride in playing all 82 and all that, and that hasn't been the case. You know, of course, this year he's had back stuff, and that's a little bit troubling, but, I mean, he's a really important player. He's also $9 million off the books if you can move him and get good value back. And it's, and some of that has to do with how you feel about Favreau. Yeah, he, Favreau did a great job in short time from signing. I thought he looked great out there. But again, he was third pairing guy, and that's, there's the difference between that and what they're asking a Subban to do. So a lot of factors in there, but I have no doubt there'll be conversations about Subban between Poyle and other DMs.
Joe Rexroad, a sports columnist with the Tennessean, at Joe Rexroad on Twitter. And then there's Kyle Turris. And when he was traded for, immediately signed that six-year, $36 million contract extension, of course. And be honest with you, everybody, I thought – at the time, thought it was a really shrewd move. You got a guy that's going to be, you know, what the need was. You had a second-line center that was going to be here for the duration, and now not so much. And I don't know if it was because of injury or disenchantment, the system. And you see it all through sports where someone would come in here and you know, or go to a team and not fit and go somewhere else and fit. But Kyle Turris, man, that's going to be an interesting decision as well, because, man, he right now, 6 years, I guess another five at $6 million a year, that's $30 million still on the books.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to me, it's an easy decision if you're the Predators. It's a question of, can you make it happen? You know, I mean, I mean, what they did at the trade deadline this year told me that they still were holding out hope that, you know, that he could make a difference as a second-line center. And, of course, shortly after that, trading deadline, he's scratched for a couple games, and then during the playoffs, he's moved down. And, you know, I mean, look, I actually thought in the postseason he at least, you know, you noticed him some. He had opportunities. He couldn't cash in. He only cashed in one time, you know, late in game four or five, I guess. But, you know, it just isn't working out. And he was asked a system question yesterday, and I've seen some people say that, you know, well, why is he, you know, he does this at Ottawa, and now he comes here. Maybe it's Laviolette's system. And I'm sorry, I just don't buy that. I mean, I'm watching him out there, and I don't know what he's lost from there to here, but he just struggles to make an impact. He is physically overmatched too often, and he just doesn't, to me, look as fast as he used to. So I think if the Predators are able to get any kind of deal made, I think that they would make it with him, because, you know, you've got to go try to find something else. You got to open up money somehow. But I don't know. That's going to be interesting, too, in terms of, you know, who out there is interested, who wants to take on that contract.
Joe Rexroad with us, columnist with the Tennessean. NFL draft tonight. Read your column, and this is big. You want an understatement? How about that? This is big. It is, you know, we are have become a city that knows how to throw a party. We showed that with the NHL draft. We showed that with the playoffs a couple years ago, certainly with that playoff cup run, and then everything that we do. I mean, the CMAs, the New Year's celebration, which is maybe the biggest in the country. So we know how to throw a party, and this is the biggest.
Yeah, and it was interesting. I was a little surprised, you know, talking to Peter O'Reilly about, I think Nashville, and I think this happened with MLS too, but I think Nashville was in a much better spot, you know, even a year ago, 2 years ago, than anyone realized. And maybe, you know, maybe some people here realize it, and NFL people realize it, but I don't think everybody else realized that. You know, this has been, you know, a years-long pursuit before it was even something to be pursued, you know, before the NFL actually looked at this way. Now, I mean, you can see the NFL is all in on moving these things, making it this big festival, this big celebration. I think the idea, one, is, you know, there's some audience that you can capture with something like this that maybe aren't people who are paying to go to your games. So, you know, there's a benefit to that. But obviously it's become a huge television show. And I think this particular draft will be unlike any other. I mean, obviously the music is way more a part of this than it's ever been, and which makes sense. And they're sort of trying to, you know, shift it to the different identities of the cities. But I don't know that there's a city better suited for something like that than our city. And so, you know, the rain may screw things up a little bit today, but I think this is going to end up, you know, going well and being just an incredible three-day event.
Titans sitting there at 19. If you know, my partner Big Joe thinks they're going to be a big splash because of the it's here in Nashville, the move up to the top 10 or wherever, blah, blah, blah. I think, in my mind, if there's a movement, it would be the other way, that they drop back and try to get another draft pick or even a couple more, because, you know, last year only having four, this year six. I think they would like to, if there's, you know, in that range right there at 19. But you got to think defensive line. I, you know, quite frankly, I'm sort of thinking Christian Wilkins. If I've looked at all the mocks, I'm looking at all the needs, I'm looking at all the what he's done there and what he did last year against Alabama without his partner Lawrence playing. I think that would be a good draft pick right there. But I would not be surprised at 19 that they slide back a little bit and pick up another pick.
I wouldn't either. I mean, you talk about moving up and making a splash on stuff. I mean, if your job is to build a team and win or you get fired, you don't worry about making a splash because of the drafts in your city, Joe.
Yeah, well, that's what I said to him.
All right, well, I'll go tell him again here in a little bit. Yeah, like that. I wouldn't think that would be much of a thought process there. I mean, and I'm with you, Greg. I think moving down definitely is possible. You know, that's just where we don't know. Is there one particular guy? There's a bunch of guys that would fill needs for them in this draft. It's a perfect draft in terms of their need. But is there one guy they really covet that maybe, hey, who knows? Maybe they love Garrett Bradbury and they really think that he changes their offensive line and they think, shoot, the Vikings are going to take him if we don't, so let's move up two spots. I mean, something like that could happen, but I'm with you. I feel like D-line, you know, edge or interior, and I think Wilkins is certainly a guy who totally makes sense. I mean, he's a super impressive dude. No question about that. Like, you know, you can see how John Robinson would love him and love the idea of him in the locker room. I mean, he's a really good player. I think a guy, Jerry Tillery, is a guy. I threw that out in a mock draft. He's a guy they had in. He's a guy that you could probably get lower, and then maybe that's a guy they would move down and still feel good about picking. So, yeah, I agree. If there's movement from them, I think it's like 80-20 that it would be the other way.
Yeah, Joe was on early. He said they need to move up to top five and get Brian Burns. I said, I don't think you have to. He'll be there at 19. But anyway, we've got a bet. He says Burns goes top 10. I say he goes 20 or after. And then the push would be anywhere from 11 to 19. So just a little. And if I win the bet, like I always does, he never pays anyway. Hey, where are you going to be tonight?
I am going to be – my plan is to be everywhere. I'm not going to Titans. I'll do the Titans the next 2 days and, you know, all that stuff. I'm locked in here. I'm downtown. I'm roaming around. I very badly want to be near Jets fans when they pick so I can hear all the swearing and screaming. I'm going to be around, of course, the media center, but I'm going to be roaming around too. And then afterward, I'm going to try to see if I can find some interesting sights and scenes at bars around too and maybe – shoot, maybe even a late night dinner. I'm kind of doing an hour, well, not an hour by hour, but I'm kind of doing a diary of the whole day from now till 3, 4 a.m. or whatever it takes. So hopefully I'll run into some good stuff. I don't think that I can screw this up.
Well, at 2 o'clock in the morning, you'll probably see some interesting things. I'll just leave it at that, okay?
I'm hoping. I'm planning on it. I usually can't stay up that late anymore, but this is like, you know, it's a return to my youth.
Well, there's probably a few things you want to see that you would never want to re-see. So, anyway,
that's very possible.
Well, it's we've been talking about it a year, so it's here. So, Joe, have fun down there. Go down there and take care of a little Big Joe, okay?
I will do, and I'll see if I can find him a little spot for a nap.
Okay, all right. Thank you, Joe.
All right, thanks.
Joe Rexroad of the...